So there's a bit.
Dredging issues. Issues with dredging.
Yeah, there's issues with dredging.
Tides, maybe it's not as...
No, there's dredging and extensive dredging in St. John Harbor, for instance, and there's been a bit of dredging in St. Andrews. It's just, I mean, big tides doesn't mean everything flushes away, right? That's one of the problems we have. They put salmon farms in the Bay of Fundy because dilution's the solution to pollution. There's so much, you know, there's 25 to 30 feet of water twice a day, so it's like it must all just go away, whereas Passamaquoddy Bay, which is quite a big bay, over half of it is a gyre, right? So it takes 8 days to flush. Even though it's going up and down, up and down, up and down, it's still depositional. Hmm. And so that's one of the issues we deal with, is that people often assume that the Bay of Fundy flushes better than it does, where it's the dynamic of any coastal inlet. It's the same dynamic, it's just more water movement. So you don't, just because water's going up and down doesn't mean it's flushing everything out.
Well, you know, it's a pity that Representative McDevin, I hope he's okay.
Maybe next week.
But does he have your phone number?
Yeah. Well, and I haven't heard from him, so I hope he's not.
It was the inauguration of the governor. I thought about it.
Ooh, is that right? We have that guy again.
Well, I thought maybe he might have been there. Maybe.
Well, he called yesterday. He said he thought this would be fun. And, well,
something
so,
happened,
yeah.
I just have to. Cowboys?
No. So, but one of the things that when I spoke with him once, one of the things he said is the most important finding that comes out of this commission is that there's a complete lack of info about how acidic waters are around the main coast, and that there need to be some baseline studies where you start gathering that info. Like you said, sometimes you can get older info that will be pH studies from time back as well. But right now, don't know where the hot spots are. You don't know. GAC chemical, for example, was an acid hot spot. Now they're actually going to deal with it. Thank goodness. And but what else? Where? And so you can't deal with acidification unless you know what the sources are. Because the one source everyone knows is the Midwest coal burners. You know, very little you can do here about that. But there are the legacy wastes, and then we don't know
I think the acidification that a lot of people are talking about now is climate change connected.
Is that right?
So it's basically the CO2 changing.
Just the CO2 in the air will...
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
That's why we have an acidification issue.
Yeah.
It's not point sources of...
But that can be part of the dynamic.
Right.
And nutrients, because nutrients can play
into it. Yeah. The thing is that what you can do something about is the nutrients.
Right.
And these meetings that, NECAM mm-hmm. has been holding, they had a stakeholder meeting in Maine, and they're doing them in different states in New England. And the outcome of that was a recommendation that, you know, that the groups that are worried about working on water quality issues. This is very hot territory here. This is where they can really do something. And you know, a lot of this thing about the deposition is still sort of not. You can't get your hands around it at that level, but you can about the water quality. And incidentally, I just wanted to mention that the Clean Water Network is getting reestablished.
From way back,
they sort of went under about a year or so ago, maybe longer than that, and they're reestablishing. I'll be sending out a press release on this.
Oh, good, and so I wish he was here, but he isn't. So
I wish they could keep it in mention.
Yeah, I was interested in what
he's
he
very,
had to say.
Very good guy, and so you know, I have recordings of some of his talks, and too bad I don't have one here. We just listen. Yeah. We could put up a picture of him.
Do you know anything about the report? Any particular?
Well, the report is on the web.
And most of it was more research is needed, which can be said of every commission's task force always says more research and more research dollars and all that. But the only ones that would seem concrete were dealing with legacy land-based sites that exist and doing the baseline studies.
Yes.
And he said that was the most important things there. There were about 10 more other things.
To the citizen monitoring.
Yeah.
And there is a network now for the Mid-Coast.
Well, I'd like to see it include PH because it really hasn't been.
It does.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. I was saying it's ocean acidification monitoring.
Oh, that monitoring. Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking of the water quality monitoring generally, which...
No. This is something that's been going on for several years now. But it this past year, we established this Maine Coast, what is it, MCOA, I can't remember. But Sarah Gladue is the person to contact.
Because it'd be great to have a talk about that and get that going on here.
Yes.
And
saltwater, intertidal pH is very, very difficult. I think there's one or two people in the state that do it.
You know, it's. I remember.
Then the protocols and so forth have been worked out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the rivers and lakes is one thing, but the
saltwater is more difficult.
They're doing it by boat and also on the shore.
Yeah. I just have two more questions. How far did you have to come to this?
It's just like 2.5 hours or so.
Well, we appreciate
you for coming.
Yeah, but it was. I don't know. I think it's nice to be able to. It's just. Waterkeepers want to support other waterkeepers, and you're in a nice little corner here. So,
and now, where's your next conference?
Next conference is in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh,
it's sometimes.
Did they ever have them out of the United States?
They had one in Toronto before my time. They've had one in La Paz, Baja California, Mexico, which was really rough. I'm joking. It was lovely. And, most often in the States. I mean, the cost of having one outside North America, since most of the people are coming from North America, I think it's tended to be here. I'm sure there'll be another one in Canada at some point.
And it's interesting to hear they have them in China, to me.
Waterkeepers, yeah.
And it would be interesting to go over there and work with them.
There was an amazing... we had a conference in Portland, Oregon, where you had... It was incredible. We attended a rally that was organized in conjunction with our conference, and it was about coal, and there were folks from the areas where mountaintop removal coal mining is happening talking about the impacts, and then the next speech was someone who's on the route of the trains and having the coal ash blow off and affect rivers and streams and farms. And then there's someone at one of the proposed port locations talking about the impacts on their coast. And then the Chinese waterkeepers get up where the coal's going to be burned. And they talk about smog, and they talk about impacts of given the low quality of their coal burning facilities, the impact on rivers, contamination, everything else. So that was an incredible moment where you had from extraction to burning across the planet, you had so that was a really neat moment with waterkeepers, with sort of the Chinese waterkeepers.
Just connecting all those dots.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was neat. It's rare that you have the whole life cycle, or most of the life cycle, because it gets into the air. And then
it sounds incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds like you have a great life.
I have a great life. Yes.